Jail overcrowding has become a problem, with solutions being rather challenging to find. Today's jails and prisons weren't designed to hold the number of people they now need to, and new jail construction is financially difficult, especially for smaller communities in particular. My first guest this week is here with the details about an alternative detention program that Sussex County, New Jersey has instituted for a few years now. It eases the prison system, maintaining supervision of youth convicted of crimes, and helps in expediting rehabilitation of those convicted youths. Here from the Sussex County Department of Human Services is Kristen Thompson. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
And you learn more about the Sussex County Detention Alternative Programs over at sussex.nj.us. There was in their news section, you see on the homepage, a news release that will take you to further details. But give us some background about the mechanics of what are the various elements of the Sussex County Detention Alternative Programs.
Well, currently we have two programs. One is the Home Detention Program. The other one is Home Supervision. With Home Detention, it's a much more intense supervision. It's daily face-to-face contacts with the staff that work within the program and the families. It's electronic monitoring. It's random urine screens. With the home supervision, it's a little bit more community-based, where there's not as much face-to-face contact, although both programs do provide intensive case management. The home supervision does not have the tracking device. Urine screens are through court orders only. You do not need to meet the criteria of detention placement to come onto that program. It's used much more in a pre-adjudicatory state as opposed to home detention, which is really more of the post-adjudication.
So if someone is in the home detention program, can they at some point be gravitated and transferred into the home supervision program as part of the rehabilitation?
Yes. The way detention alternatives was set up through the continuum of care model is that a juvenile could go up or down throughout the continuum based on their performance. So those kids that are on home supervision, could potentially be stepped up to home detention based off of noncompliance. Those kids that are doing extremely well on home detention could get stepped down to home supervision. So it could go either way.
And as I mentioned, there was a news release over at the county website, and it gives the success rate for 2014 since the program has been in place since late 2009. They've had 225 youths go through the system, and for 2014, it was a total of 33, 27 males, 6 females were admitted to the program. And the graph shows a success rate of 88%. What constitutes success? Is that someone who goes completely through the program, out, and then is back on track, or is that just does someone who is making forward progress count as a success?
Someone who is basically making forward progress and has remained complaint-free, has been compliant with school, compliant with rules, compliant with whatever treatment has been recommended through court-ordered evaluations for at least 30 to 60 days after their release from the detention programs.
And part of these programs, I mean, you've detailed what they go through as far as monitoring and detention. Is this as they are serving whatever penalties they have to face? For example, community service, does that come into play? Are there elements of this program that are grounding to them that help the juvenile just become more serious about life and understand what they've done?
Certainly. We do have an extensive community service program. We work with different organizations throughout the county. For example, we work with Pass It Along. That's based out of Sparta, New Jersey. What's great about the community service program as well is not only are they doing their hours that are mandated through court, but they also can use their services as volunteer services for college applications, for job applications, to show that they've volunteered in the community. And nowadays, a lot of the high schools require, as part of a graduation from their school, is that they participate in so many hours of community service. So these hours that they do through our program would count towards that as well.
Dr. Kristen Thompson, who is the Detention Alternative Coordinator for Sussex County. Learn more about these programs over at sussex.nj.us. And you, in the news section, click on the news release and find out more details about what we are talking about here. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Referring to that release too, Kristen, I see the chart for the average length of stay in days. And, I mean, this is always a good trend when you can get the juveniles through the system faster, showing a bit of improvement. And we've seen certainly from 2011 to 2014, the length of stay in days has dropped rather significantly.
Yes, they have. And that's actually a core strategy of the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative that we are working with now, is to, you know, limit the amount of days not only in detention alternatives, but as well as the secure detention, the juvenile detention center that we have our contract with Morris County.
For a juvenile who is facing jail time or a conviction of, I'm assuming, nonviolent crimes, what's the process for that individual to be placed into the detention alternative program? Does it have to be unanimous consent from everyone, from the judge down through the parent and prosecutor, defense, everyone, and all points in between? Or can one voice override everyone and say, this is the best I feel for this individual?
Well, honestly, the Superior Court judge could override everyone, but we do, the process is everything's done through the court. You have to be court ordered onto either one of the programs. The family has to agree to the rules and conditions of the detention alternatives, whether it's home supervision or home detention. Keeping in mind, I mean, it is an alternative to detention, so chances are you're going to have families that are going to agree to follow the rules to keep their children out of the secure detention facility.
So theoretically, not just the juvenile, the parent can screw things up.
Correct. That is correct.
Because
if you have a parent that, you know, we've had them in the past where they're at their wit's end, you know, this is not the first, second, or even the third time they've been in front of a family court judge. They sometimes feel as though they're being burdened with their child being on one of the alternatives. We are intrusive. I mean, with the staff going into the family's home on a daily basis to check on their kids, to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're following court orders. It could be difficult for parents as well.
But also at the same time, if the parenting has been a little lax, this becomes here's that old adage from the world of sales, the win-win situation where you're getting both elements of the family environment back on track.
And that is always a priority for us.
You mentioned, too, that you'll be participating this year in the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. Talk more about that. And has Sussex County been at the forefront of these instituting these alternatives versus other counties in the state and even other states? Or had you looked at other programs and thought that'll work here, and you put the pieces together for what became the program here in Sussex County?
That's actually exactly what we did. In 2009, when our Sussex County Juvenile Detention Center was closing, we knew that eventually down the road, the JDAI, or the Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative, would come into play for our county. It's a nationwide move to restructure kids' incarceration. So with that, we had taken some ideas and policies and procedures from other counties throughout the nation that are already successful in implementing the JDAI initiative. So with that, that's how we created the programs that we have now. So Sussex County was in a really great position going into this year, knowing JDAI was starting, because we had already had the programs up and running for, the 6 years, 5 years that we've been doing it. New Jersey is a model state for the JDAI throughout the nation. So we're hoping that by the end of next year, all 21 counties will be on board and every county in the state will be a JDAI site.
And at last count, there are approximately 200 JDAI jurisdictions in 39 states, obviously including New Jersey, as well as the District of Columbia. And when you look at the stats, you show that versus the old school or the old school thinking of get them in, throw them, and toss them to the side versus work with them and give them an opportunity to strengthen themselves, redeem themselves, and grow up, I guess would be the saying, and get more maturity. That's something that the Detention Alternatives Program is offering 225 youth since its inception. And, yep, bad news, good news type of thing. Bad news, there are youths out there who do go wrong. But the good news is there are programs and a variety of services that unite under the umbrella of the Detention Alternative Program in Sussex County that give a second chance and a fair chance and help the kids grow in wisdom and the parents, too, as you heard. To learn more, you can check out the recent news release over at sussex.nj.us. And we've been joined this morning by the coordinator for the Sussex County Detention Alternatives Program, Kristen Thompson. Kristen, great job with the program and continued success with everything. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.